Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Om Agyanat Varandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Marovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Tadati Svapadantikam. So we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Chapter 2, text number 39. Ateva tumi hoya mula narayan, eka hetu shuna dvitiya karan. You are therefore the original narayan. This is one reason. Please listen as I state the second. The direct lords of the living beings are the Purusha incarnations, but your opulence and power are more exalted than theirs. Therefore, you are the primal lord, the original father of everyone. They, the Purushas, are protectors of the universes by your power. Since you protect those who are the shelters of all living beings, you are the original Narayana. Purport. The controlling deities of the living beings and the mundane worlds are the three Purusha avatars. But the potent energy displayed by Sri Krishna is far more extensive than that of the Purushas. Sri Krishna is therefore the original father and lord who protects all creative manifestations through his various plenary portions. Since he sustains even the shelters of the collective living beings, there is no doubt that Sri Krishna is the original Narayan. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vistavidva Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Dhanamani Namaste Sarasatam Deve Kauravani Vijarne Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskadya De Siddharna. So, in this particular verse, Lord Brahma, he's speaking to Lord Krishna, explaining how he is the original source of everything. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Aham sarvasya pravo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante imam buddha bhava samanvitaha. That those who know Krishna, that he's the source of all the material and spiritual worlds, and they'll naturally engage in his devotional service with all their hearts. Because there's a difference between the conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the absolute controller, or as God, and God as the sonam bonum, or the source of everything. So Krishna as the source of everything, he's all attractive. Just like in this material world, one is attracted by some display of beauty, whether it be a beautiful sunset or a beautiful form. One is attracted by wealth, by opulence. But it is said that Krishna, he's the source of all these different opulences. Whatever opulence we see is simply a fragment of his glory. Whatever beauty, Ataiva bhavanam kena kim gyatena to arjuna vishtavyaham idam kritsnam what's the next word? Kritsnam. So, whatever glorious, whatever wonderful, beautiful manifestation, ataiva bhavanam tena kim gyatena to arjuna vishtavyaham idam kritsnam ekam shena sito jagat. So, ekam stena stito jagat. That this is just a little fragment of Krishna. So we can, it is not possible to imagine just how wonderful, how beautiful, how opulent, how powerful Krishna is. Even Narayan, he has unlimited opulence, but Krishna, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that he has unlimitedly more opulence than even Narayan. As a matter of fact, in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one verse, which is the very essential verse, which explains the purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that verse explains how Krishna is the source of everything. Did they read that verse? Ete changsa kalapum sam krishnastu bhagavan swayam indriyari vyakalam lokan mridiyanti yuge yuge. So this is the most important verse practically in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse states the very purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is to demonstrate how Krishna is the original source of everything. Ete changsa kalapum sam Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. The Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. And that although there may be other incarnations such as Narayan, Ramachandra, etc., but still Krishna is the very source of them. Eka desha sitasya gya josta vistriti saha. That if you take one fire and you put it in one place, and its heat and light expands everywhere. So, eka desha sitasya gya. So, in the same way, Krishna is in one place, and it's from Krishna that all the different energies are expanding. Therefore, if one wants to take shelter of someone, one should take shelter of Krishna. Without understanding what Krishna's position is, one will not be able to appreciate Krishna very fully. Although in the spiritual world, the residents there, they are not so much concerned with whether Krishna is God or not, because they have unlimited love for him. But in the immature stage, when our determination, our faith is not so fixed, therefore we have to decide who to worship. Or what to worship. Even in the Vedic literature, there is so much propaganda to worship Agni, the fire god, to worship Indra, the god of the gods, to worship Brahma, or to worship Shiva. There's so much advertisement and propaganda proclaiming the glories of these different demigods. Because the Vedic literature encourages one to worship someone who's connected to Krishna. But ultimately, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amalam Paranam, is the purest, of the most elevated of all the scriptures coming from the Vedic literature. And there it explains that one should simply worship Krishna and Krishna alone. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhava Madhvato Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mame Vaishasi Satyam Te Prati Gyani Priyosi Me. And in the purport to this verse, to always think of Krishna, to become his devotee, to worship Krishna, to offer respects to Krishna. And Krishna says, if you do that, then you'll come to me without fail. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes that one should fix his mind upon that beautiful boy, the son of Mother Jasoda, with the peacock feather in his hair, and he has a yellow dhoti. One should not even divert his attention to other forms, such as Narayan, or Vishnu, or Ramachandra, or Nrsimhadev. One should simply fix his mind upon this form, and this is the most confidential part of knowledge, which is explained to Arjuna, because Arjuna was a very dear friend of Krishna. So although the other forms of Krishna are Krishna himself, but it is only in the form of Krishna that the full sweetness of the personality of Godhead, the sonam bonum, the source of everything, is found. Although Krishna's pastimes are much simpler than those of Narayan, apparently more simple, than those of Narayan or Vishnu or his other incarnations, but only in that form is the full sweetness of Krishna revealed, that he reciprocates fully with his loving devotees. Although Narayan appears to be more opulent from one point of view, but actually from many other points of view, he's actually not more opulent. That the opulence of Vrindavan far surpasses that of the opulence of Dwarka or of Vaikuntha. Because the opulence of Vrindavan is that of pure unalloyed love, which is the most opulent of all the different manifestations. So here, Lord Brahma, he's giving the argument that everyone is protected by Krishna. Although Krishna was a little cowherd boy 5,000 years ago, still when he displayed his opulence. He himself, just like a big businessman, a very, very wealthy businessman, he doesn't have to personally engage himself in the activities of business. He hires someone and they do the business for him. So when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, so many demons would come to try to disturb his Vrindavan pastimes. But Krishna would never become disturbed, even when the demons were there, because he was always beyond those activities of killing demons. Instead, those expansions of Krishna would come with him, they'd engage in the activities of killing the demons for him. So the demon would come, Krishna's expansion would kill the demon, and Krishna would just go on with his pastimes. As a matter of fact, when Putana came and was trying to poison Krishna, then his expansion sucked out the life air from the demon Putana's breast, and Krishna kept on playing with her breast. Although she expanded herself a little bit, she became as big as a mountain. Her breast became as big as a mountain. She became 24 kilometers long. So Krishna didn't care. He was just playing with her. Similarly, Krishna killed so many demons, his expansions, but Krishna never really was engaged in this killing business. Simply, his expansions were doing it. Because for Krishna, there's nothing but pastimes, unalloyed loving pastimes. Therefore, he's considered to be the most opulent of all the incarnations. So, text 43. Oh, my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, kindly hear my third reason. There are countless universes and fathomless transcendental Vaikunthas. Both in this material world and in the transcendental world, you see all the deeds of all living beings in the past, present, and future. Since you are the witness of all such deeds, you know the essence of everything. All the worlds exist because you oversee them. None can live, move, or have their being without your supervision. You oversee the wanderings of all living beings. For this reason also, you are the primeval Lord Narayan. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna, in his Paramatma feature, lives in the hearts of all living beings in both the transcendental and mundane creations. As Paramatma, he witnesses all actions of the living beings performed at all phases of time, namely past, present, and future. Sri Krishna knows what the living beings have done for hundreds and thousands of past births. He sees what they are doing now, and therefore he knows the results of their present actions. He knows the results of their present actions that will fructify in the future. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the entire cosmic situation is created as soon as he glances over the material energy. Nothing can exist without his superintendence. Since he sees even the abode of the rest of the collective living beings, he is the original Narayan. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani cha arjuna padishami cha bhutani mam tu vedana kaschana. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, everything happening in the present. I also know everything that will happen in the future. I also know all living beings, but me no one knows. That is the qualification of God, that He knows where we were 5 billion births ago at this time. He knows what we had for breakfast. He knows where we went, what time we took rest. He knows everything. And we ourselves can't figure out what we did 5 minutes ago. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot imitate the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because He is Swarat and Vigyan. He is Swarat, He's fully independent, He doesn't depend upon anything in the creation for His activities, and He's completely all-knowing. He knows everything in the past, present, and future. Therefore, if someone claims to be God, we can ask him, do you know what I did 3 days ago? And if they don't know what we did 3 days ago, then how are they God? So Krishna said, Brahma, I can understand what you are saying. Lord Narayan is He who sits in the hearts of all living beings, lies down in the waters of the Karna ocean. Brahma replied, What I have said is true. The same Lord Narayan who lives on the waters and in the hearts of all living beings is but a plenary portion of you. The Karnadakashayi Vishnu, Garvadakashayi, and Shiradakashayi forms of Narayan all create in cooperation with the material energy. In this way, they are attached to Maya. These three Vishnus lying in the water are the supersoul of everything, the supersoul of all the universes, is known as the first Purusha. Garbhadakashayi Vishnu is the supersoul of the aggregate of living entities, and Shiradakashayi Vishnu is the supersoul of each individual living being. Superficially, we see that these Purushas have a relationship with Maya, but above them in the fourth dimension is Lord Krishna, who has no contact with the material energy. The three Purushas, purport, the three Purushas, Karnadakashayi Vishnu, Garbhadakashayi Vishnu, and Shiradakashayi Vishnu, all have a relationship with material energy called Maya, because through Maya they create the material cosmos. These three Purushas, who lie in the Karna, Garbha, and Shira waters, are the supersoul of everything that be. Karnadakashayi Vishnu is the supersoul of the collective universes, Garbhadakashayi Vishnu is the supersoul of the collective living beings, and Shiradakashayi Vishnu is the supersoul of all individual living entities. Because all of them are somehow attached to the affairs of the material energy, they can be said to have some affection for Maya. But the transcendental position of Sri Krishna Himself is not even slightly tinged by Maya. His transcendental state is called Turiya, or the fourth dimensional stage. Krishna has an expansion to deal with each part of the creation. To deal with the entire creation as a whole, He appears as Karnadakashayi Vishnu. And to deal with the living entities within one universe collectively, He appears as Garbhadakashayi Vishnu. And to deal with the individual living entities within the universe, He appears as Shiradakashayi Vishnu. So Krishna is quite well organized. He takes care of things individually and collectively. And although these Vishnus have no real connection with the material world, but because their attention is concerned with creation, annihilation, and maintenance of the creation, therefore in that way they're said to have some connection. Although factually they have no connection, but because their activities are focused upon the material world, therefore they have a connection in that way. It is said elsewhere that although one may not be directly in contact with a flower, but if one smells the flavor of a flower, in that way one is said to have some contact with it. So the supersouls For instance, Shirdakshaya Vishnu, who lies in the heart of living entities, he contacts the material world because he senses the desires of the living entities in this material world. And therefore, through his agency of the material energy, he arranges to fulfill those desires. But actually, he's never really in contact with the material energy. In the material world, the Lord is designated as Virat, Aranya, Garbha, and Karna. But beyond these three designations, the Lord is ultimately in the fourth dimension. Purport. The phenomenal manifestation of the Supreme Whole, the nominal soul of everything, and the cause of causal nature are all but designations of the Purushas, who are responsible for material creation. The transcendental position surpasses these designations and is therefore called the position of the fourth dimension. This is a quotation from Sridhara Swami's commentary on the 11th canto, 15th chapter, verse 16 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Although these three features of the Lord deal directly with the material energy, none of them are touched by it. They're all beyond illusion. This is the opulence of the Lord. Although situated in the material nature, he is never affected by the material modes of nature. Similarly, those who are surrendered to him and fix their intelligence upon him are not influenced by the modes of material nature. This text is from Purport. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.11.38. Those who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead do not identify with the material world even while living in it. Pure devotees might deal with the three modes of material nature, but because of their transcendental intelligence and Krishna consciousness, they are not influenced by the material qualities. The spell of material activities does not attract such devotees. Therefore, the Supreme Lord and his devotees acting under him are always free from material contamination. It is said, Brahmarpanam Brahmahaivir, Brahmagno Brahmahutam, Brahmaiva Tena Gantavya, Brahma Karma Samadhinaha, which is translated that the work of a person who is fully absorbed in devotional service or spiritual knowledge, that for him everything becomes spiritual. The offering, the paraphernalia, the person who's contributing, everything becomes one in the absolute. So for those who are engaged in themselves in Krishna service, they don't see the material world as material, they see it as Krishna's energy. But for those who are engaged in the activities of trying to lord it over the material nature, they see the material world according to their desire to control and enjoy the material nature. So in the material world, there are unlimited different types of visions. There's a spiritual vision, and then there's unlimited other types of visions according to one's material desires or coverings by the illusory energy. So for a devotee who's always engaged in trying to serve Krishna, he never sees the material world as apart from Krishna. He never sees anything as being not spiritual. He doesn't see the energy as being not spiritual or the activities in the material world as being not spiritual. He sees all the activities, all the personalities, all the energies as all being Krishna's energies acting under Krishna's directions. But for those who are not connected to Krishna and Krishna consciousness, they can't actually see what's taking place. Therefore it is said, Utkramantam stitim vapi bhunjana va gunanditaha vimuranam pashanti jnana chakshusha, that the foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So for those who are affected by the material energy, they cannot even understand that they're not this material body. They cannot understand that there are modes of material nature under which people are being conducted. They cannot understand that at the end of this body, the living entity does not die, but he leaves the body and goes on to another one. To them, the other realities, they have so many other ideas. That at the end of this body, the living entity enters into the void and disappears, or he merges into the Brahman effulgence, or so many other speculations about what is the nature of existence. But a devotee who can see things clearly, he's not bewildered by these things. Text 56, you are the ultimate shelter of these three plenary portions, thus there is not the slightest doubt that you are the primal Narayan. Purport, Brahma has confirmed that Lord Krishna is the supreme, the source of the three manifestations known as Shir, Dakshayi Vishnu, Garbo, Dakshayi Vishnu, and Karano, Dakshayi Vishnu, Mahavishnu. For his pastimes, Lord Krishna has four original manifestations, namely Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. The first Purusha avatar is Mahavishnu, and the causal ocean is the creator of the aggregate material energy, is an expansion of Sankarshan, the second Purusha. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is an expansion of Pradyumna, and the third Purusha, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, is an expansion from Aniruddha. All these are within the category of manifestations of Narayan, whose manifestation Shri Krishna. So Shri Krishna, he first expands as Baladev in the spiritual world, and from Baladev come Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan. And from these quadruple expansions coming from Baladev comes the 24 Narayans, and from one of the Narayans comes the second expansion of Sankarshan. And from that Sankarshan comes the three Guna avatars, or the three Purusha avatars. So, therefore, the Purusha avatars are expansions of a partial expansion, of a partial expansion, of a partial expansion, of a plenary expansion of Krishna. So, we could just imagine how much more wonderful Krishna is, who is the source of all this. Although, each one of these Purusha avatars, they have all the qualities that Krishna has, because they are Krishna, but they're Krishna displaying only partially his opulence. Just like if a judge is sitting on his high courtroom bench, he wears a certain uniform, he has a certain name, Your Honor. People deal with him very respectfully. They have certain duties, awarding people a certain amount of money or condemning a criminal to death. So he has certain duties, certain designations, certain uniform he puts on. And most people don't get along with the judge. Most people don't want to go and see him because it means there's probably some problems. But when he goes home at night, he takes off his judge's uniform. His wife and children come and bring his slippers. They put him down on the couch. And they call him John. So John and the judge are the same person. They look different. They have a different name. They have different activities. But they're the same person. Similarly, when Krishna comes to the material world as the Purushas, he has certain... there's certain formalities in dealing with him. He has certain names. He has certain forms, etc. But he's actually Krishna. So if he wants, then he could actually appear as Krishna. But that's not... he doesn't do that. Just like one time the gopis, they were searching for Krishna, and Krishna decided to play a trick on them. So he appeared before them with four hands. So the gopis, they came, they saw, oh, there's Narayan. Let's ask him, maybe he's seen Krishna. Because the gopis are not very much interested in Narayan. Although Narayan is just as beautiful as Krishna is, and almost as opulent, but still the gopis are not attracted to him. So they came and they asked him, have you seen Krishna? So Narayan said, no, I haven't seen him around lately. If I see him, I'll let you know. I'll tell him you were looking for him. And then they ran off looking for Krishna. But when Srimati Radharani came, then Narayan, with his four hands, he was so attracted by Srimati Radharani, he kept on losing his four hands and appearing as two, as Krishna himself. So in this way, Srimati Radharani realized this is actually Krishna playing a trick, pretending to be Narayan. The source of the three features is in Narayan and the spiritual sky. He is your vilas expansion. Therefore, you are the ultimate Narayan. Therefore, according to the authority of Brahma, the Narayan, who is the predominating deity in the transcendental world, is but the vilas feature of Krishna. This has now been conclusively proved. So there's different types of expansions of Krishna, which will be explained about in the Madhya Leela. There's Vilas, there's Prakash, and different types. Krishna appears as six different types of incarnations, known as Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Leela avatars. Then there's the Swamsa incarnation, which is Krishna himself. Also there's the partial incarnations, or the so many different types, the six different incarnations. And within the expansions of Krishna, they're designated as Prakash and Vilas. Very technical. The truth indicated in this verse is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. This conclusion, through synonyms, applies everywhere. Not knowing that Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are all features of Krishna, foolish scholars speculate in various ways. Because Narayan is four hands, whereas Krishna looks just like a man, they say that Narayan is the original God, whereas Krishna is but an incarnation. Purport. Some scholars argue that Narayan is the original personality of Godhead, whom Krishna is an incarnation, because Krishna has two hands, whereas Narayan has four. Such unintelligent scholars do not understand the features of the Absolute. This is very, very common. As a matter of fact, in most dictionaries, they define Krishna as one of the incarnations, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. He's one of those three, Vishnu. Or they say that he is the incarnation coming from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, appearing in this world. So these things, unless one hears through the simple succession and hears the logic and argument coming from such great personalities as Jiva Goswami, one can easily become confused and think that Krishna is just one of the many incarnations. Although Srila Jiva Goswami has shown that he's a very special personality. For instance, well, specifically as we come to the later verse. In this way, their arguments appear in various forms, but the poetry of the Bhagavatam expertly refutes them all. Vedanti tat tatva vidas tatva yaj gyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdyate. Learned scholars, learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth say that his non-dual knowledge and is called impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the personality of Godhead. My dear brothers, kindly listen to the explanation of this verse and consider its meaning. The one original entity is known in his three different features. Lord Krishna himself is the one undivided absolute truth, the ultimate reality. He manifests himself in three features as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Purport. In this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam cited above, 1-11, the principal word Bhagavan indicates the personality of Godhead, and Brahman, Paramatma, concomitants deduced from the absolute personality, as the government and its ministers are deductions from the supreme executive head. In other words, the principal truth is exhibited in three different phases. The absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, Bhagavan, is also known as Brahman and Paramatma, although these features are identical. So Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, they're the same personality seen from different features. The example is given that persons from a village, they went to see a train for the first time. So those who saw the train from a distance, they thought, oh, that is what a train looks like, and they left. Those who were more curious or intelligent, they stayed, and they watched the train as it pulled into the station. And they thought, now we've understood what a train is. But those who were the most intelligent, the most interested, they went aboard the train and looked around. So in this way, they fully understood what the train was all about. In the same way, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, there are different features of Krishna seen from different angles. Those who understand only the effulgence of Krishna, just like the sun, has different aspects. The sunshine, the sun planet, and the sun god. The sunshine might be here today. You never know. But if it does appear, still we will not be burnt up by the power of the sunshine. Because although there's no difference between the sun and the sunshine, we don't fully experience or understand the sun simply by associating with the sunshine. But those who can go to the sun planet, they can understand more about the sun. And if one can meet the sun god, then one will fully understand about what the sun means. So in the same way, Brahman is Krishna's effulgence, Paramatma is his expansion, but the actual source of everything, the actual person behind everything, that is Krishna. So to understand Krishna, to understand the absolute truth, one has to know Krishna himself. Ete changsa kalapunsang, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, Indrari Vyakulam Lokam, Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. All these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. Purport. This statement of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28 definitely negates the concept that Sri Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu and Narayan. Lord Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, the supreme cause of all causes. This verse clearly indicates that incarnations of the personality of Godhead, such as Sri Ram, Narsingha, and Varaha, all undoubtedly belong to this Vishnu group, but all of them are either plenary portions or portions of plenary portions of the original personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. Ramadi Morti Shukalan Yamena Tishtan, Nanavatama Akarot Bhuvanesh Kintu, Krishna Swayam Samavat Paramakumanyo, Govindam Adi Purushang Tamahang Bhajami. It's also stated in the Brahma Samhita that there may be many incarnations of Krishna, Rama, Narsingadeva, Varaha, but Krishna is the original personality from whom they all expand. So I think we'll stop there. Are there any questions? Yes. Candles. It's Krishna, but it's Krishna in his Vasudeva form. In other words, even among the Krishna, he has different features. It explains that in Act of Devotion, Krishna in Vrindavan, he's the most sweet. Or it says, in Mathura, Krishna is sweet, but he's sweeter in Dwarka. And still sweeter still is when he appears in Vrindavan. So Krishna in his Vasudeva form, in his who's an expansion of Baladev, coming from Baladev, he appears in the Kurukshetra. It's not Krishna in his Vrindavan feature. Although it's Krishna, but it's Krishna in a different mood. No, the material, of course not. Material world exists only for the conditioned souls. Material world means material consciousness. But when Krishna comes, he's never affected. He's never in material consciousness. Nor is he affected by the material energy. Material energy moves on his direction. He's not being moved by the material energy. The conditioned souls who are imprisoned by material consciousness, they are moved by the material energy. But Krishna is never moved by the material energy. He moves the material energy. So even he comes, he has nothing to do with this material world. Is that clear? Material world means just like if you have a prison and the governor comes to the prison, he's not really part of the prison. Although he may be in the prison, but he's not being controlled by the prison. He controls the prison. But if the prisoners think, oh, here comes the governor, it's about time they threw the rascal in here, then they're mistaken. Yes. No. Why should they do that? Then everyone will be, they'll become discouraged. Yeah, at the end he gave him a little hint. But they thought he was probably delirious. The old man was about to die. He said so many things, you can't believe him. Bhaja Govinda Mudamate. So they didn't. Some, if they actually accepted it, it'd be hard for them to be full-fledged, card-carrying, 100% dedicated Mayavadis. So those who accepted that, they may have gone on to become devotees, but the vast majority never really took it very seriously. In that way, Sankaracharya can't be blamed. But as far as the Vedic literature goes, it is said, Vedeshu Duralavam Adurlavam Atma Bhakto, that by studying the Vedic literature, one will find it very difficult to understand Krishna. But if one receives the knowledge through a devotee, then it becomes very easy. Yes. What's that? He's Krishna himself, Swayam Bhagavan, plus Radharani. He's even better than Krishna. He's Krishna and Radha together. He's Avatari. He's the source of everything. Yes. Which waters? He's in the Kshira Dakshat. He's in the ocean of milk. Yes. Separated expansions, Vivinangsa, the Swangsa and Vivinangsa. So we're Vivinangsa, we're particle expansions of Krishna. We have our individual personalities, just like Krishna has his individual personality. But it's difficult to understand about that. Oh, Srimati Radha. Well, that's different. They're expansions of his energies. There's the energy and there's the energy. Shakti and Shaktiman. So the energies are separated. But the energetic is always the same. So there's varieties of his energies. Because Krishna has different varieties of energies, of which external, internal, and marginal are the principal categories. So Srimati Radharani and her associates, they're all internal energy. And we ourselves, we're marginal energy. And then there's the external energy. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantara Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.